times in the Bible when our Lord called people by their name twice. There are seven of those occasions. I have found that repetition in the Bible is God's megaphone. He's only getting louder trying to say something. And we've looked at a couple of those already. We looked Sunday morning at the time when he called Paul, Saul, Saul. And we looked at some thoughts on a call to salvation. And then last evening we looked at Martha, Martha, and a call to service. And tonight I'd like to lay out another of these before you tonight. It too, as last evening, is in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22. It is their custom to stand for the reading of the Bible. I'd like to look tonight at this double name call of Simon tonight and bring some thoughts on, I believe, a very interesting subject, the call to sifting. Call to sifting. Bible says in verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon. You do realize he's talking to Peter, one of his disciples. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He said, talking about Jesus speaking to Peter now, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You may be seated tonight. Call to sifting tonight. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians that we should walk worthy of our God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. He said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believeth. Sifting tonight, drive you to the Bible. And the sifting will bring about an effectual work of the Word of God. I don't believe myself that the Word of God will ever have much effect on you unless God puts you in the fire. Burn the devil out of you. Most of us, to be honest, we're full of ourselves anyhow. As we begin to open up this text, verses 31 through 34, I want us to look first of all tonight, if we could, at Satan's demands for sifting. In verse number 31, I would like for us to look at the awareness of Satan's demands. I did not know if you noted or not, that Satan wants to put you in his sifter. Matter of fact, all day long, all night last night, Satan never slept. He's been asking God all day if he could have you, put you in his sifter. They tell preacher, what do you want to put me in a sifter for? I just wanted to make you aware of it. He says here in our text in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. The word Simon here means to hear clearly. It is our little word, listen. Literally, I was thinking about this again today. A dear preacher friend of mine, probably be close as to being my best friend as anybody I know. I know when my daddy died, he jumped an airplane in North Carolina and flew down there and held my coat and my Bible all weekend and stood right there beside me until I put my daddy in the ground and got a plane out of there and went back home. But he's bad in service. He always sit right there on the front row. And if the preacher's preaching something good to his people, he'll always say, listen, listen. He'll say it twice. Listen, listen. That's what our Lord is saying to Simon. Listen, listen. I just want to make you aware tonight of Satan's demands on you. Listen, listen. And then our Lord uses this little word, behold, behold. The little word has the idea of lo, look here. I want you to understand something. I want you to look here and see and know this truth. Literally, he is saying to Simon, Simon, listen, listen. I want you to know this clearly. I want you to understand this. Don't miss this, Simon. I would say that same thing to you and I tonight. The awareness of Satan's demands. The little word Satan here that's used, it's the word accuser. John said in Revelation chapter number 12 that Satan accuses the brethren day and night before the throne of grace. All day long today, he's been accusing you to the Lord. He's been telling the Lord about how sorry you are. Now here's the catch. Everything he's telling the truth. You'd have been chasing your tail today. You don't have to worry about it. Lord already knows that. He's been up there all day long. Look at him. Yeah. They left from the house early this morning. Ain't touched the Bible. Ain't read no Bible. Ain't studied no Bible. They've been chasing their tail all day. They're talking about they one of your people. Accusing us. The awareness of Satan's demands. But I'd also want to bring to our attention, we're talking about Satan's demands for sifting that. I would want to bring to our attention not only the awareness of Satan's demands, but the account of Satan's demands. He says in verse number 31, Satan hath desired to have you. The little word desire means to demand with great intensity. Satan has appeared to the Lord. He is calling your name and with intensity.
He's telling the Lord, I've got to have them. Let me have them. Let me add them. Let me sift them.
We're intense about this. I'm extremely interested in this thing of sifting. He said, He has desired to have you that He may sift you as wheat. The little word sift that our Lord uses there means to test the genuineness or the realness of a subject. Satan with intensity is asking the Lord if He could have you. He said, let me test them and see if they're real. He said, I believe if you'll let me add them, they'll cuss you to your face. Whoa. Wants to sift them. This little word that our Lord uses here, sift. This little word is used over in the little book of Ruth. Winnoweth in the barley. Boaz took the wheat, put it in a sheet, and would toss it up in the winds and the breezes of the night. That which was not real, the chaff, it would blow it away. That which was real wheat would come back down in the sheet. That would be the harvest, that which Boaz had reaped. The devil is asking the Lord, let me have them. Let me toss them up in the winds of sorrow, the winds of adversity, the winds of heartache. Let's see if they're real or not. Let's see if they're genuine. I don't know if you realize or not, the greatest test God never called on you to do is to live what you believe. Oh, it's easy to come over here and talk about God. Oh, it's easy to come over here and stand up and testify, shout. You tried it down at work? Huh? You tried it down at the break room? Huh? Shouting and testifying. Now, you can do it down there too. You shout and testify down there if you want to. You probably won't get the same response you get here. Huh? Of course, I'm hoping some of you don't get to shout here. Oh, no, I don't want you to share here. I want God coming on you here. Oh, no, you sit here for years. Ain't never done nothing. When God comes on you, I want you to be there at Walmart in the checkout line. And you got to cut a dance down there. You got to shout down there. It's going to be hard on you when you do it down there. Huh? See, you can do it here and get away with it. It's hard God come on you out there in public. Satan's demands. He's demanding to sift us tonight. If you're one of God's children tonight, it will demand that you be sifted. And if God ever allows Satan to put you in the sifter, I tell you what, honey, you will not find yourself far from this book. You keep it close by all the time. You're in the sifter. You're in the sifter. I was a wonder tonight, not being nosy. I don't want to be nosy. I don't want to put you on the spot. I wonder what you would do tonight if God let the devil have you. I mean, just all the forces of hell come after you. Physically, emotionally, mentally, financially. Just let you throw you up in that adversity and you can't throw no more. How would you do? I don't know about you. I'll not testify for you tonight. I've told you this before, 99.9% of everything I know about God's in my head. Oh, shoot, I got a head full of God. If you want to know what you need to do in your troubles, please come and ask me. I can outline it for you. Oh, gracious. Any question you got, I don't care what trouble it is, if you got a question about it, please come and ask me. I can answer it for you. But just something about when I get in that sifter, getting there from my head to my heart and out in my life, somebody gets stuck. Sifting. Satan's demands for sifting. He's making a demand for us. But watch the text. Don't miss this. I notice not only do we see Satan's demands for sifting, but I notice the Savior's devotions through the sifting. Savior's devotion through the sifting. I use the little word through because it's so fierce, this text. I want you to notice in the text, there's no mention that Jesus is going to stop him. Did you notice that? Jesus don't ever say, Peter, I'm going to protect you. I ain't going to let him do that to you. No mention of that. None. I'm here to tell you tonight, hon, God is not going to keep you out of that sifter. No, sir. There won't be no, there'll be no defense of that. Matter of fact, I'm bad. My wife thinks sometimes I maybe read between the lines too much to make the sermon longer. But it just seems like to me I can read between verse 31 and 32. It's almost you can hear him saying, I've given him the go-ahead. I've told him it's all right. But this little word, through, I'm just testifying for me now. I'm testifying for you. Maybe totally different for you. But most of the time when I'm having trouble, it seems like God never takes me out of it. And I find that I could probably count on half of my hand the times that God has taken my trouble away. Well, I tell you, I could write a book about the times He's made me go all the way through it until it's over. I mean, just get every ounce of it I can get. You listening to me? Savior's devotion through sifting. I notice in verse number 32, we are confronted with the type of His devotion. Well, preacher, what is a Savior going to do for Simon while he's in the sifter? Verse number 32, he said, but I have prayed for thee. He said, Simon, he said, while the devil's sifting you, he said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm extremely interested in that little word, pray, there. The little word means to beg, to petition, to beseech. But the root of the word means to attach oneself to the petition. Our Lord said, I'm going to make a petition for you, Simon. And he said, I'm going to attach myself to the petition. I don't know about you. I've had a lot of people tell me over the years that they're praying for me. Praying for me. Some of you have told me that you're praying for me. For a number of years since I've been in evangelism, my daddy prayed for me every night. At 7 o'clock. My mom and daddy's custom every night at 7 o'clock to pray for me. Back in November, my daddy quit. He don't pray for me no more. He's on the other side. My mama says she still does every night at 7 o'clock. I was talking to her today. I feel confident it ain't going to be long before she's going to quit too. She'll not pray for me no more. But I tell you, I got one that's never going to quit praying for me until he sees me face to face. Huh? Now, this may seem crazy to you, and it's all right if you want to think it's crazy. But I am enjoying the hound out of it. Every now and then, I just tell the Lord, Lord, pray for me today. Pray for me today. Remember me today. I'm in some troubling waters, and I need you to pray for me. I need you for you to intercede for me. He said over in Hebrews 7 that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. For over 2,000 years, he's been sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's been interceding for the world. God forbid, he's been interceding for me. Praying for me.
Amen.
Praying for his people.
Yes,
praying for me. Oh, I love that, don't you? Making intercession for us. We can make requests of others tonight. We come over here on Wednesday night and ask so-and-so to pray, ask the church to pray. I'm not against that. But I tell you what, if you could ever get him to make one petition for you and attach himself to the petition, she's a done deal, hon. You can bank her. Shit's over with. You're going to get a yes on that one. Oh, I love that, don't you? If Simon is fixing to be put in the sifter, what kind of consolation is he going to have while Satan is sifting him, trying to find out the genuineness and the realness? This is the only hope he's got. The Savior said, I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. I didn't know if you noticed it or not, but pray there is in the past tense. But I have prayed for thee. Anytime there's a ED on a Bible word in the New Testament, it's in the aorist tense. Past action, guaranteeing a present result. Our Lord said, Simon, I've been praying for you knowing that the sifter is coming. I will be praying for you while you're in the sifter, and I will continue to pray for you after you get out of the sifter. Oh, I love that, don't you? Huh? I can remember when the boys were teenagers, first started driving. They'd go off at night. While they was gone, I'd do my best praying. And I tell you, the sweetest sound that I have ever heard is that back door when it dings them coming in. And you know what you always ask them, the stupidest question we ever had, but we always ask them, are you home? Huh? Some of you young people are looking at me like, oh, yeah, I've had them say that to me. Oh, you home? Yeah, no, I'm still out in the car. But immediately, when you hear that voice, yes, I'm home. Feels like you can back off of that tightness and that energy of praying. God, get them home safe. I'm telling you tonight, he has been praying for us. He is praying for us. And he will pray for us until we make that last step into eternity. We step over on that other shore. And he says to us, are you home? And he hears us say, yes. His praying for us will be over. Oh, I love that, don't you? Oh, honey, I don't know what you're going to go through. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're yet to go through in this sifting domain. But I can give you this hope. You can rest assured of this. He'll be praying for you. He'll be praying for you. But I was interested in this, not only the type of his devotion, but the target of his devotion.
What's he going to be praying about?
You know, our prayers tonight are so typical. You're talking about chasing your tail. You go to average Baptist prayer meeting on Wednesday night, it's chase your tail or go-go. We pray for so many temporal things, our health and our financial well-being, our mental health, our emotional health, our financial health. We pray for body parts. You heard anybody in the Bible praying for gallbladders? Huh? A gallbladder meeting tonight. We'll pray all the gallbladders. Huh? Body parts, cars, toes, backs. But do you see his target? He tells him in verse number 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Preacher, he's praying that Peter won't lose his salvation. Lose his what? You can't lose something you didn't have nothing to do with getting. Huh? You lose something like that. This little word faith here, the little word literally is the core of convictions or beliefs that causes one to rely wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly upon Christ. He's praying for that faith, and he's praying that it would fail not. The little word means to omit, to cease, to leave off, to be distracted, to be A-W-O-L in the exercise. He said, Peter, I'm going to pray that you won't quit leaning all your weight on me while you're in the sifter. I'm going to pray that your faith fail not. He says, and when you are converted, what's that little word, converted, have a thing to do with salvation? Oh, no, you're not talking. Peter's already saved. Don't you remember when Peter got saved? He asked him, he said, whom say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed that to you. Peter's conversion. He said, but when thou art converted... The little word converted has the idea to come to one's senses. That's what some of you need to do here tonight. You say you need to wake up. This thing's real, hon. We ain't playing church. This thing ain't about praying some little old praying and living like hell the rest of your life. Oh, no. It's the real deal, hon. Huh? He said, when you're converted, when you come to your senses, when you wake up, when you make a 180 in your life, when you begin to grow and get some depth to you, sifting will cause you to grow. Get some depth to you. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. The word strengthen has the idea to set fast, to turn in a resolute direction, to establish others unmovable. I tell you, you'll never establish others unmovable. You'll never have an effect upon your friends, your loved ones, your family, until God lets the devil put you in the sifter and you come out of there deeper, genuine, real, with a strong attraction to the Word of God, saturating yourself with the Word of God. Remember this, in the sifter, he'll be praying for you. He'll be praying for you. I don't know if that's a consolation to you. It may not be any help to you at all. But I tell you, if you can get on that prayer list, hon, you're home free. Huh? If you can get him to begin to attach himself to those petitions, oh, what a blessing it is. Savior's devotion through sifting. But could I mention this little last thought and I'm done? We've looked at Satan's demands for sifting. I was wondering tonight, I wonder how many of you, It may start tonight.
You hear this message.
And
maybe today Satan got to go ahead. You can have them after the service tonight. You can sift them. Let's see if they're real or not. Let's see if they'll cuss me to my face.
Let's see, Satan, if they'll shut your mouth. Quieten you down in your accusations against them. Sift them. I see the Savior's devotion through this sifting. The last little thought I want to leave with us tonight in verse 33 and 34, I want us to see Simon's dumbness in sifting. You talking about somebody got their doctor's degree in dumbness? Simon Peter had his doctor's degree in dumbness when it come to sifting. Remember now, Satan accuses the brethren day and night. You remember in the story of Job? Satan came with the angels there to accuse the brethren. Satan doesn't bring up Job. God brings up Job. He said, Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job in your sifting deal? He said, you let me at him. He said, he'll cuss you to your face. He said, you got that hedge about him. He said, I can't get to him. Lift that hedge. Let me at him. God told Job, told Satan, he said, you can have it. He said, just don't mess with his soul. Put him in that sifter. What did he do to old Job? Huh? Before he's done, he got 10 graves up on the hillside, killed 10 of his kin. Took everything he had. He had no house left. He had no animals. He's laying out there in the dust heap, had a little old pot shed scraping the pus out of the sores, got sores all over his body. Wife come out there and told him to cuss God and die. In a mess. Sifting him. See if he's real or not. But we're looking here. Simon's dumbness and sifting. Notice it in verse 33. We see that Peter's readiness is but foolishness. He says in verse number 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. What a thoughtless statement. What a foolish statement. Of course, I don't know how you feel about it. Peter known for making stupid statements. He's full of foolishness. You'll never convince me until I get home and I can ask the Lord and ask the other disciples. I believe every time Peter said anything, the rest of the disciples did this. You remember that time when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration? He wanted to build three tabernacles up there. He was going to build three lean-to. We'll stay up here forever. And the Scripture made this little statement, for he knew not what he said. He had a clue what he's talking about. Of course, you know, I don't know how you feel about it. I get around a lot of Baptists who don't have a clue what they're talking about. And you know when most of them shine? Oh, they shine the best when God's fell on the congregation. I'm telling you, God's moving everywhere. People are worshiping. People are crying. People are weeping. The altar's full. People are weeping everywhere. And somebody somewhere will stand up and say, preacher, will you pray for my uncle's back? He's been having problems with it. Ain't got a clue as to what is going on. I was thinking about a dear preacher friend of mine in the Carolinas. He was in a service not long ago. I might have told this story. If I did, forgive me. I'm having a senior moment. I have them all the time. He He said, Tom, he said, I preached my guts out that night at that service. He said, there's an old gal come to the altar. He said, I don't believe I ever see anybody cry and weep like that gal did. He said, she cried. He said, she just shook. He said, I stood there on the front row. He said, I got to cry. He said, Lord God, he said, God's dealing with that woman. God's helping that woman. He said, she cried and cried. He said, the altar call went on about 30 minutes. He said, she just cried, just wet the altar down there. He said, she got up from the altar, cried all the way back to her seat. He said, won't about 5 minutes? He said, here she come to the altar again, weeping, crying, just convulsed. He said, my word, God is helping that woman. Just crying, weeping, wetting the whole altar. He said, finally, things got settled down. She jumped up. She said, Bridget, I got to testify. I just got to tell it before we go home. He said, oh, my. He said, she going to tell what God done for her tonight. She said, y'all know that my daughter died a year ago. And I just hadn't been able to get no help. And she said, you know that gospel music? She said, I've tried to listen to it. She said, most of that don't help you either. And she said, this morning I was on the way to work, and she said, I turned the radio on, and they were singing that song, Hunk a Hunk of Burning Love, and she said, God set me free in the car. I'm here to tell you tonight she wouldn't know God if he come riding in on a fire truck blowing a siren. Huh? It is but a foolish thought. Full of it. Most of it will come out. When God's really moving, you'll come up with some foolish thought. And call it testifying. Testifying. Peter's readiness is but foolishness. But watch the text. We're talking about Simon's dumbness now. In sifting. Not only do I see Peter's readiness is but foolishness, but I notice in verse number 34 that Christ's rooster is but foretelling. Our Lord said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day. It must be after midnight. This day, before thou shalt thrice, three times, say, I don't know that blankety blank Jew. Deny me. What is our Lord saying here in this verse? I think he's telling us of his control over everything. One thing, he's in control of the rooster preaching. He said, Peter, he said, before daybreak in the morning, the rooster is going to preach you a sermon. Right. Why, he was in charge of buzzards bringing bread. Yes, he's always been in charge of creation. Right. He was in charge of a whale swallowing a preacher. He calls the dogs to howl right straight up at midnight in Exodus. How you get dog to howl right on the money at midnight? Must be in charge of them. Head of lions lay down. Let old Daniel make a pillow out of them. Must have been hungry. They sure did eat the rest of that crowd the next morning pretty quick. Had a dove tell a story one time. Had a donkey talk. Oh, great, he had donkey preach. I think sometime I've heard some of them. One day, he had a colt and a jack. Mama and a son ride in together. And he riding on the jack. And his mama so proud of him. He control the creation. Preacher, did this sifting have any real effect on Peter's life? Well, it seemed like at first glance it didn't. Peter did deny him three times. Cussed. Said he didn't know him. Matter of fact, I told you last night he went fishing. Took several of the disciples with him. I told you he liked to fish in his birthday suit. He's out there naked fishing. How'd you like to have him as your fishing partner? Huh? You didn't like to fish. Oh, Peter liked to fish too. He didn't like to wear his clothes when he did it. That's what John said. He had put his clothes on when Jesus come up out of the to the shoreline. You're talking about a Jerry Springer show. Woo! Son, Peter could have made one. A mess. But that night up in that upper room, Jesus come through that wall, didn't open the door, and blown on them. Holy Ghost, come on. 50 days later now. Now, if you would have had a preacher cussing and denying, fishing naked, surely 50 days later, I mean, that's just a little, that's not even 2 months. You surely wouldn't let him preach in public. You might let him come in and sit on the back row. 50 days later, he preached the Pentecost sermon, and 3,000 people got saved. Whoa, that 50 must have worked. I was thinking about old Peter. Went down there to Cornelius' house and preached, and the whole family got saved, the first Gentile family to get saved in the book of Acts. He raised old Dorcas from the dead. They said that if they could lay the people along the roadside, that when Peter come down the road, if his shadow would go over their bodies, they would be healed. Man, that sifting stuff must have worked effectually on Peter. Fox's Book of Martyrs says that Peter was arrested down in Rome for preaching the gospel. They sentenced old Peter to be crucified. Peter told him, he said, "I don't want to be crucified like my Lord was crucified." He said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like he was." He asked him, he said, "Will you crucify me upside down?" And so, they took Peter's legs and put them on the upright, nailed his feet to the upright, and let him hang there until he died. "Don't pinch me and wake me up." I was wondering when Peter finally died. I wonder if Jesus leaned over to Satan and said, "Devil, what you think about that?" He passed the test. He's genuine. He's the real deal. Old Job, when Satan had him in the sifter, took everything that he had. Old Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I was wondering tonight. I was thinking about that hurricane destroyed New Orleans down there. You don't wonder why God did that? You don't think that was an accident, do you? Oh, no. I'm firmly convinced there were some of God's people down there lost everything they had, wiped them out. They ain't never got over it. But I bet you there's some of them saying, "The Lord gave, the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I bet you the Lord turning to the devil and saying, "Devil, what you think about that?" And the old devil's doing this. Shut my mouth. I was a-wondering tonight, as he puts you and I in the sifter, your response to your sifter. Is he causing the devil to shut his mouth? Or is it giving him more grounds to run his mouth at your response to your sifting?